This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Rod Neal, Chief Operating Officer at BoneSecours Mercy Health Medical Group. Ron, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
Now, I know we have a lot to talk about, and really I'm excited to learn more about what you're doing at the medical group and how you're thinking about the future. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Rod Neal. I'm the COO with the BoneSecours Mercy Health Medical Group. I've been with our ministry for 19 years now, and almost all that time has been with the medical group. And actually, if you go back, I participated in the first meeting when we decided and formulated our medical group, and that was back in June of 2008, just to kind of give you some history of our medical group. And I think that followed the trend of a lot of other health systems and how they put a focus on developing their medical groups. And I've been in this particular system role, system chief operating officer of the medical group, for a little over 3 years now.
Well, that's great to hear, and definitely, exciting that you've had that experience to really just dive in and understand what the community needs. Now, could you talk about one change that you've made over the last year or so that's had some great results?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an exciting one for us and even more so for our patients. So in March of last year, we made a very strategic decision to sunset our native patient portal application and focus those energies on MyChart. So we've been a client of Epic's for probably about 15 years now, and we previously leveraged MyChart as our patient portal. But over the past couple of years, we had invested numerous resources developing our own tool. At the time, we thought and believed it would give us additional flexibility and customizability around a patient portal. Those all things, through trial and error, we determined otherwise. So we shuttered our internal tool toward the end of last year, and we worked very closely with our Epic partners to build out a robust MyChart tool. So we're in the middle right now, probably about an 18-month tracker journey to build out additional functionality that's beyond what you would find in the kind of out-of-the-box normal MyChart app. And we really prioritize the work effort. And if I'm happy to share some of those results or some of the functionality and then some of those results. So a couple of them I wanted to point out. One would be self-scheduling for established primary care patients. And as we standardize schedule templates, we're going to be rolling that out to various specialties like orthopedics, cardiology, pulmonology, and neurology that allow patients to schedule on their own time within the MyChart app and not have to call the practice or call a call center, put on hold, all the things that kind of go with that. We've also instituted open scheduling, and that allows new patients to establish and schedule themselves with a primary care provider. We have something called one-click scheduling, which allows our practices, nursing units, case management, emergency departments, urgent or walk-in care locations, things of that nature, to quickly and easily schedule a patient with a provider while that patient is right there in front of them. So they don't have to be experts or trained or understand how to navigate scheduling. The one click allows them to easily do that when they're then and there with the patient. As an example, when a patient might be getting discharged, so that way we can get them in to their primary care physician within a few days of being discharged. We also have digital or e-registration, and that allows patients to do all their pre-visit paperwork, update family history, update insurance information, upload a photo of their insurance card, driver's license, things of that nature, pay bills. All of that can be done at their convenience. And when they arrive at the practice, they're already checked in and they're ready to go back to the exam room and be seen and avoid all the hassle and the clipboards and the waiting. Really been focusing the last couple of years on social determinants of health. So we could do that screening within MyChart. We feel it's more comfortable for patients to provide those type of answers to those questions on their own instead of being queried by someone in front of them. And at the same time, we're able to then provide them resources via MyChart that will assist them based on the needs that they identify through the questionnaire. We're doing paperless statements, bill pay, things of that nature that also consolidate both hospital and physician bills on one statement, streamlines that process, and at the same time, it reduces the need for paper mailings. And those are things in place right now, and we have a bunch of others, like I mentioned, on the journey we're on. So, example, one of the future enhancements is bilingual MyChart so we could better serve our diverse patient populations. Those are the things we've done. So I thought I'd maybe spend a minute just talking about some of the early results. So we built out a MyChart dashboard for our leadership and other folks and some of the early results so we could track how we're doing and trend and things of that nature, identify where there's some opportunities, reward those that are doing really good in some of these areas. So some of our early results is 78% of all BonSecour Mercy Health patients have an active MyChart account, and this puts us in the top quartile of Epic users. 14% of all our primary care patients are scheduling via MyChart, and this functionality that I mentioned only went live this past fall. So some really early success there, and that number just continues to grow week by week. 15% of our patients, our new patients, are scheduling via open scheduling. So those are folks that want to get in and get established with a primary care doctor. And again, 15% of our patients are doing that. That only went live this past January, so not even 3 months ago. Some good traction there. And then 31% of our patients, regardless of the specialty, are completing the full check-in via the digital registration. So really good traction there. And again, all of these continue to trend up and up month after month. So really our ultimate goal is to really be top decile in each of these categories and a few others I didn't mention when you look at us compared to other Epic clients. And we're very mindful of our patients' preferences for self-service. So we really only plan to build on some of these early results and meet their needs and expectations and deliver on it. So that's something I, you know, we've been super and hyper focused on in the past year around change management that I'm very happy with, because I think it's making our organization much more efficient and is really delivering what our patients are asking for around self-service.
Well, that's amazing to hear. And certainly, as you mentioned, you know, the results of having, you know, among the top in the country in terms of, you know, patients that have a MyChart and are engaging in really using those self-scheduling in other tools that they can do themselves is really exciting to see. I know you just mentioned, obviously, from the internal perspective, it does take some change management to really incorporate all of this into the daily workflows and be able to have the information and use it appropriately. And then, too, you know, to really make sure that patients know about these capabilities and are able to use them effectively. When you look at being able to kind of tackle that change management piece or the people piece of it, what has really been essential for you and your teams to be successful? I know, you know, the technology certainly I often hear is the easy part, but then, you know, trying to get everyone on board and making sure it's being used effectively can be a little bit more challenging. So what does that look like for you and your teams when you're trying to really create meaningful change?
Yeah, it's really, it's all hands on deck from leadership all the way down to our frontline staff, beginning with really education. So a lot of socialization internally, as you can imagine, socialization and awareness externally to our patients and our consumers around this functionality. So we've really been hyper-communicating it via a lot of different forums that we have in really leveraging all our channels and resources over the past year and getting people excited about it. But, you know, some folks might see that as a threat when you talk about scheduling, check-in, things of that nature that work going away from individuals. So at the same time, we really have a wonderful internal program around career ladder development where we could sponsor individuals getting their education and training and certification in many different areas, but most specific to this kind of work in the medical group is medical assistants. And there's a shortage and a need across the country with medical assistants. So we could take registrars or our front office staff, put them through a program we call Guild, an internal program where we internally finance and fund that for them. So there's no out-of-pocket cost for our associates. And they go through this program and eventually become certified medical assistants. So we get roles that we need. So we're reducing the need for registrars or front office staff. Same time, we have a growing need, continual need for medical assistants. So we're creating a pipeline there. And from a career ladder development standpoint, those folks that go through that and become certified medical assistants or other things as well, you know, they move up from a compensation standpoint and the like. So it's really a win-win. So as you package all those things together and communicate why you're doing it and why it's beneficial, and at the same time provide resources for your team, that's how we've been successful.
That's great to hear, Rod, and thank you so much for sharing that with us. Now, what are some of the other top trends you're following in healthcare? What's really top of mind for you?
Well, as always, there's a lot happening in healthcare, and I do utilize Becker as a way of keeping informed, so I'll give a plug to you guys. You know, the information and the stuff you send out daily is really valuable, and we talk about it internally, and that's how we really keep informed. As far as particular topics, I think mergers, acquisitions, and partnerships are top of mind. That's always something I enjoy keeping a pulse on. However, I'd say a particular theme that has emerged that I'm actively engaged in is around artificial intelligence, specifically ambient clinical intelligence. that if it's consented to by the patient, it allows for the capture of the conversation within the exam room between the provider, the patient, and anyone else who accompanies the patient, family member, a spouse, the like. And from that interaction, that interaction is directly fed into Epic and the notes created. And really then at that point only requires the provider to review and edit the note that we generated during that conversation in the exam room. So really we look at this as a game changer. And if AI delivers like we think it can, then this reconnects the patient back with the physician, and the doctor is no longer burdened or buried looking at the monitor and the keyboard during that brief encounter they have with their patient. So it adds value to that interaction and that relationship between physician or provider and the patient. We also see it as the ability to give precious time back to our physicians and advanced practitioners. They could get home on time, have dinner with their family, go see their kids' game, that type of thing. They're not burdened at night with charting. So right now, as we speak, we've begun a 100-provider pilot utilizing this ambient AI technology. And our hopes are the pilot results are going to meet the expectations we have for it. And if so, we're going to make this available to all our employed medical group providers, which is around 3,000 strong, by the end of the year. And we feel it'll be very beneficial for them.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, it was exciting to hear that you're able to use that technology and incorporate it in a way that, like you mentioned, is not only beneficial for the patient-physician relationship and really bringing that back to the person-to-person level, but also to the clinicians as they're trying to navigate, obviously, a very demanding career, but then have family time as well and really great for their wellness and mental health. So that's great to hear. Before we wrap up our conversation, how are you thinking about growth over the next 12 to 24 months or so? What comes to mind when you're thinking about development and expansion and those kinds of things?
Sure. And beyond the couple things I just talked about, for us, it's really in the growth really in the next couple of years is really around Medicare Advantage. Over half the patients we take care of in our practices or our hospitals or any of our facilities are Medicare Advantage on a Medicare Advantage plan. And this really varies by our geographic location. We cover multiple states. It's only around a 40% Medicare Advantage penetration in our two Virginia markets, but I can tell you it's well over 60% in our Northeast Ohio markets. Either way, though, we expect the trend to continue and people to continue to, obviously, folks are becoming more and more Medicare age, but they'll pick Medicare Advantage plans over traditional. So we really see a possibility around two-sided risk that goes with it. So our ACO, which is called Mercy Health Select, has been one of the most successful ACOs in the country in recent years. And we really see this as a foundation, not only to being very good at taking care of our Medicare Shared Savings Plan program patients, but also a pathway to success in Medicare Advantage. So we have multiple teams right now working to improve our care model. They're doing things like refining our care coordination teams, integrating pharmacy and behavioral health into our primary care practices, building out an extensivist service. And what that is, it provides extra support to primary care providers in managing some of their most complex and sickest patients. We have a virtualist service staffed by advanced practitioners in all of our Ohio markets, and that's available to any of our established patients, Medicare Advantage or otherwise. By start of next year, this virtualist program will be in all our states as a 24/7 service. So really a great opportunity, not only for Medicare Advantage patients, but all of our patients to really have access all the time. So instead of on the weekend, due to practices and urgent cares and things of that nature being closed in the evening and going to the emergency room unnecessarily, they could connect with one of our virtualists at any point and being given the appropriate direction, and hopefully in many of those cases treated right then and there virtually and avoid the burden of them going to unnecessarily the emergency department. So we really believe growing our Medicare Advantage population and caring for them in a compassionate manner truly aligns with our mission and values, and it positions Bon-Secours Mercy Health to be successful in the years to come. And our goal is to continue to serve our communities well into the future. And again, a big component of that future growth is in the Medicare Advantage world and being successful in it.
That's fascinating to hear, and especially, you know, thinking through all the different opportunities, as you mentioned, to be able to kind of have that control over care for the community, looking at quality, looking at cost, and understanding how all of that plays together in the way that, you know, as more of the population, I guess, moves into that Medicare Advantage space. Do you see that, you know, any big transitions that you're having to make? I know you talked a little bit about having teams dedicated to refining care coordination, looking at different ways that you can really be prepared for that model of care in the future. But, you know, if all goes as planned, 5 years from now, what do you really see as being different about healthcare delivery because of these trends and these forces as more, you know, patients move into the Medicare Advantage space?
Well, to be successful at it, a lot of it goes back to what I talked about with the MyChart in the question you asked, really around how do you get your teams understanding and buying into it. The same goes in a value-based world. As you transition, as we transition, and other health systems and providers transition from really volume-based to value-based, that's a completely different mindset on how you go about your daily work. You're still taking care of the patients, you're still being compassionate, but the mode and the method about it is really much different. You're less in a churn type of thing to really, you know, being customized in the care for each of your patients. So that takes a lot of cultural change, and we're very mindful of that. So all the things we're doing, whether, again, related to MyChart, Medicare Advantage, value-based care, is really around educating our teams, gradually educating them. Folks can only take so much at a given time. So gradually indicating what changes are coming, what role they play in it, and why. I mean, I think tying back to the why is really important, and that's been a focus of ours, really, to be successful at it. We have to have our teams understanding that they're part of a team and where they fit in and what looks different for them compared to now. So that's a challenge, and I think we're taking it in an appropriate manner and preparing ourselves for the next 5 years and what may look, you know, healthcare look beyond that.
Fantastic. Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really interesting and fun discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
I appreciate the opportunity.